go ahead and get rolling. We'd like to welcome you all out to the Daniel Town Council meeting, Monday, June 3rd, 2024, 6 o'clock p.m. at the Wasatch County Service Building, Conference Room B, 55 South, 500 East, Heber City, Utah. It's good to have you all here tonight. We'll go with agenda item number one, public comment. If we have any public comment, please stand up and state your name and...
Terry Duggan. I just want to remind everyone that the Republican Party is having a June primary. Ballots will be mailed out next week. And election day, or primary day, is actually June 25th. But the sooner you get it in, the better off everybody is. We'll forget about it that way. So please vote if you get one of those ballots. If you don't get one and you're a registered Republican, check with the post office.
Eric's a Democrat, so he won't get the time.
You won't be getting one if you're a Democrat.
Mary, thank you.
You bet.
Anybody else? Public comment. Okay, let's go to agenda item number two, which is a public hearing for the zone change on the Keel property and possible action tonight. So I'll call for a motion.
Make a motion to open the public hearing.
I'll second.
Okay. Call for a vote. Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay. All righty. We're in a public hearing. Any public comment, we'll open that floor up and come up to the pulpit, state your name, and we'll listen to what you have to say.
Grady. I have a letter from Nina Vernon that I'd like to read to you tonight. It says, Daniel Town Council, I'm writing you regarding the letter I recently received informing me that there will be another public meeting on June 3rd, 2024 for the consideration of the zone change of the Keel property. Unfortunately, I'm unable to make the meeting. Please note on record that I am opposed to the zone change. There will be increased traffic, noise, increased dust, and will affect property values if you allow this to go through. So I'll get back to you. And for the record, Stephanie Grady, I am opposed to the zone change as well.
Thank you.
Gary just said he's coming.
When he gets here, we'll put him to work.
Okay.
Thank you, Stephanie.
My name is Barbara Norris, and I've been here before and opposed the zone change, and I know many of the people in the area are opposed as well. So that's what you might think. So.
Thank you, Barb.
My name is Lisa Dinga, and I am opposed to the zone change as well. I live in Stormhaven, though. So.
Thanks, Lisa.
Hi, my name is Karen Reeder, and we've lived here 48 years, and I'm definitely opposed to it.
Thanks, Karen.
Can I just stay here and just say, I'm opposed and I just want them to keep their dust and their dirt up where they're at. Is that a deal?
Can you state your name?
Oh.
That's okay.
I'm the witch that lives next door to this mess.
Marcia Birch.
Back
okay.
to Marcia.
I don't know that I can put that on the public record, but okay.
Okay. Anybody else?
Oh, could you ask him to mow his lawn? Is that bad? Do they have to mow their weeds?
Well,
I'm just asking.
Depends on if it's a crop.
It's a big crop.
Well, don't they have to put noxious weeds down?
Yeah, noxious weeds have to be down. Grasses don't.
Can I bring the horse down and just let it eat?
You won't get permission from the town.
I move to close the public hearing.
I second.
Sorry.
Was there anybody else that wanted to say anything? Okay.
I don't see anyone representing Keels, so.
Yep. So we'll, I'll call for the motion. Robin, make that.
Yes, I did.
Okay. He made the motion. Eric seconded it.
Okay.
We'll call for a vote. Kohler, yes?
Bennett, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay. Now, on this agenda item, I had him put on there possible action, which that means that we can go ahead and vote on this tonight, or we cannot vote on this tonight if we don't want to. So I'll call for a motion on how we want to proceed with that.
Well, I would just like to make a motion to deny the zone change application.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay. So we have that motion seconded. We'll call for a vote. And Kohler will, I want to make sure that this doesn't pass. So Kohler says,
yeah.
Yes.
To deny.
To deny.
So yes to deny.
Yeah.
Yes to
correct.
Deny. Yes to deny.
So Bennett, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay. Very good. I would assume that that would pass. So, okay. Let's go to agenda item number 3, which is public hearing for the final town 2020.
Just one second. Do you need something?
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Okay, public hearing for the final town 2023-2024 budget amendment and possible action on that. So we'll open up a public hearing.
I'll make a motion to open a public hearing for the budget amendment.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay. Kohler, yes?
Bennett, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay. So I would assume that Kim has passed out a copy of the budget to everybody. You've all got that. And we'll take any public comment or any public questions on that.
Do you want to explain what's being amended?
So if you look in your, okay, so I included a copy of just our operational budget. So you could see where percentage-wise we were and why we decided to maybe up some things and maybe reduce others. But that doesn't include, because it was too close to the first of the month to get most of the expenses in for this month and then next month. So we had to kind of estimate most of them for 2 months. So we looked at, okay, if we're even close, then we have to do May and June. Exactly. So as we looked through this, we actually were pretty spot on with last year's budget. I mean, it was actually pretty great.
So is the fiscal year again June 30th?
Yes.
So this is the top of every sheet. It says 100% of the fiscal year has expired.
Well, that's just because it's a worksheet.
Okay.
So that's actually not true. So this was just a worksheet. So on the first page, you can see there are no draft budget amendments. However, or final amendments, but for the draft budget, we're going to increase property taxes to $50,000 because we're almost there now, and our budget last year was $45,000. So I'll just kind of speak to both of them since we're kind of going through both. And then if you have questions on each, because they'll be voted on separately. Okay, and then we had a deficit. Well, we decided to increase also the interest earnings. So you can see that to date, and again, we don't have those for May or June yet, we're at $50,000. So we're still being really conservative, figuring interest rates are still at 7%. So we raised that to $38,850. So, and that takes care of what we need to fulfill that. If you go to the second page, this is where the adjustments are. And the first one is an office rent. We signed a new lease, I believe it was either December or January, where our rent increased from $500 to $650 a year, but we locked in that lease for until the end of this coming fiscal year. So end of fiscal year 2024-25. And that includes everything but our phone. So it includes internet, it includes power, it includes all of that. So it was a bit of a bump, but what happened was the owners passed away, and so there was kind of an issue, and so one of the siblings had to buy the building, and so he increased the rent. But still, I mean, if you're looking at office space anywhere in the area, that's still super reasonable, especially when it includes most of your utilities. So $6,600 is what we need for the rest of the year. So basically, we need another $600 to make us whole through the end of the year, and then next year is calculated at $7,800. Then the IT services, so we've had some increases on those costs, but we're going with Ace Computers here in Heber instead of Executech. And they are billing us, so in the long run, it's gonna save us money because they're billing us just a standard $200 a month. And that includes many, many hours of tech services, and Aaron's always available. He's been super helpful. It's been hard to get the Microsoft licenses transferred over from Executech to him. That's taken a few months. And then we added another one because Mary Duggan is still doing reporting for our ARPA money. And so she needed to have a Daniel. She needed to retain hers even though she's not on the town council. So we had to add one more. But that will be roughly $600 a month. So we just upped it to $15,000 in case we have a hardware breakage or something like that. When you look at my copies, sometimes they're a little askew, so it's not tracking very well. So, but that gives us a little leeway. Then to make up for the amendment, $38,050, that brings us whole. So that takes, that just makes us whole with the expenses we're raising. And we've only spent 45 $80 thus far, and I think my warrants have $59. But it's important to understand that that's because the Utah Land Trust insurance has been paying our legal expenses for the two lawsuits that we're in right now. So that's why we're not changing that for next year. We're going to keep it at $50,000 for next year, because we very well might end up in an appeal or something. Okay, and then engineering, again, I'm going to have 2 months worth, and we're definitely going to go over the 79, well, we'll be under 79,000, but that's going to be close, and we're going to keep it at 80. But it's just crazy building up here, and just engineering is expensive, and so there's just a lot going on in the town. So we did raise that a little bit, but in the 2024 budget, originally, I think we had them, I want to say 72,000, and we were a little short on one expense or another, and so that's why that 68,650 is that's where we pull it out of, and as you can see, we needed that money. So that's where that's at. And then, so that's what we absolutely have to have balanced in the budget to turn into the state. Then when we go over to the water companies, we're going to increase a few of these, but those budgets don't have to be balanced. So if you have questions on those, again, the draft amendment is because we need more monthly, quarterly fees, and those fees are derived mostly from impact fees from people being able to use their credit cards. But hey, bills are getting paid, and people aren't behind in their water bills. So that's how that is. And the water, other water system. The same thing. And then water sampling, we think in Storm Haven, needs to be increased, because now that we have the lead and copper testing perhaps coming online, we're going to need perhaps more funding for that. So those might get adjusted in the year, and the mayor is still going over salaries and wages and employee benefits, so we are just going to keep those the same for now, and we may have to do an amendment for that. Any other questions? Okay.
So if I'm reading this correctly, you're taking the 24 budget.
Yes.
And you're just indicating which ones you're increasing.
Exactly. It's
so
almost
all of the 24 budget just gets transferred over.
Exactly.
Increases.
Exactly.
And that is the new number.
Exactly. Increase or decrease. I mean, there's a decrease on to make us balance this year in legal fees from 50,000 to 38. But everything else, yeah. So I think there were four items that are going to change with the amendment, and then five items that will change with the new budget. But everything else is exactly the same. We did really well, and if you look at the operational budget, we're doing pretty good that way. And it doesn't indicate, so I don't enter in things like depreciation, and I don't move ARPA funds over to other accounts and things like that. So when you look at the operational budget, just take that into account, that there are certain things that Polaris does, and it's not me that does that. So, you know, if something says zero, you know, depreciation, that's because they're going to do that at the end of next month.
So
So we don't need to reflect anything here on the municipal water of our yearly payment on our loan?
That's already in here. It's the same. It's reflected the same as last year.
We don't reflect that every year on the, I mean, is it in here somewhere?
Yeah, it's in your operational budget, and then it's reflected.
We're in these sheets right here.
Oh, I'm in the wrong sheet. Well, fine.
Yeah, we're not in the warrants and that for approval. We're in.
Yeah, we're in.
Right now, we're in the operating budget for this year.
Yeah, I apologize. I was here late.
No, you're okay. And again, Coloris tells me exactly what I have to have for the bonds, and you know, they calculated them out for 20 years, but interest rates have changed, and so it's been adjusted a little bit here and there, not a ton, but you know, a few dollars just in case I get ready to write the check and I don't have the bill yet. Last year we were under by a cent. I was just like, oh, really?
The one thing I would like you to be aware of on the property tax number, $50,000. The last time that we did that, we went from $40,000 to $45,000, and it required a truth and taxation hearing, which requires a bunch of noticing. It was more than $1,000 for us to increase from $40,000 to $45,000. So just be aware of that, and you'll need to check with the clerk.
And that goes in July, correct?
I'm not sure what the timing is.
Okay. My understanding is that hearing is held in August, but I have to let them know in July.
Right, but you know, just check on that, because I mean, I can see that we did collect $49,000 plus this year, but we only had on our paperwork with the state $45,000. The extra money is from all the new construction.
Yeah, we got the.
Storm Haven Water and Daniel Water.
Just be aware of that.
Okay.
Operational budget, the main budget.
The number of $45,000 that we turn in to the state, that is the number that they will allow us to collect. This year we collected $49,000 because of the new construction that has occurred. Next year that new construction goes into the $45,000.
Well, next year that new construction goes into the total tax value that will increase.
Well, you're not following me. I'm just trying to explain it. $45,000 was the number that we said we wanted.
Right. Yeah, I don't see it.
The new construction was the $4,500 on top.
Which is a forecast. It's what we can't guesstimate what that totally is, but yes, go ahead.
So you only get that for 1 year. Next year that additional new construction goes into the total valuation.
The total value.
Yes, and okay. So if you have $45,000, okay, the tax rate for everybody else will go down, unless you now decide you're going to do $50,000 and you have to do a truth in taxation.
Okay.
I can't find it.
I remember last year when we were talking about this.
Did we pay on the month of the yearly payment on the loan?
I can't. The increase from 40 to 45. I didn't. That truth in taxation we talked about. And so, if I'm understanding what you're saying, we're going to have to go through that again. That truth in taxation, because we
didn't
raised
actually
that.
Go through it last year. In fact, when we passed that new tax rate, that didn't go through.
I must be dumb.
You look at your tax notice from last year.
Okay.
It is actually less than what we wanted it to be, because we didn't handle the process.
I'm looking under operating
so
expenses.
So that's all I'm just saying. You know, Tim, we can talk expenses, to the clerk and make sure that this all works out. But it did cost us about $1,000 just to go up.
Is it in the transfer
fund? To increase that.
It must be in something.
Just be aware of that.
See right here. Is it in that fund there?
Okay. I appreciate you explaining that to me.
50-something thousand.
Okay. Are there any other questions or any other comments about this? Did you find what you needed?
No, we can't find it.
No.
Mary, will you tell me again what is our water payment every year?
We have two.
It changes.
It changes a little bit every year, but it's, there are two bonds. One is about 30, I think it's, including the interest, I think it's about $45,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
It might be a little bit less now. I think it's gone down.
Do you see it reflected anywhere in here?
I'm not.
It's not reflected in there because it's not an operating expense.
But it is an expense to the water company, so it should be.
Definitely an expense. And I always wanted to put it in there, but, you know, the software doesn't really allow to do that.
Oh, so that's why we don't see it.
But it is an expense that has to be paid.
Well, it needs to be calculated in the budget. It's an outgoing cost. It's a cost to the.
You're seeing it like I see it, but like I say, the software doesn't allow it to be reported that way.
So.
Polaris doesn't.
Would it be a recommendation to get that changed so that we did see that reflected?
I don't know.
We're talking what, $45,000 plus, what's the other loan?
No, it's the two combined.
Yeah, okay, so we're talking $45,000 income that we don't reflect in. I don't see it reflected as an individual expense to the town.
Probably a liability is how it's.
Yeah.
Well, it's clean drinking water is all I'm saying, you know, I mean.
Well, there must be a way to report it.
I mean, you know.
Okay, I can see if we can put that on the report.
I mean, I don't understand why Polaris.
It's just our accounting thing. The other one, we did have it on, but when we went with Polaris, they didn't have a section for that. Or doesn't show up on your budget. We did track it.
But if I ask Kyle, he might be able to customize that for us.
I just.
Okay.
In my mind, I just think it's an important expense that we should be seeing as an outgoing expense to the town on something we're bonded for.
Sure.
Okay. I guess other than that, I apologize for being late. The pigs got out, and I probably smell like a pig, but that's the way it is. So. They didn't like the rain, I guess.
Okay, is there any other public comment about the budget amendment and the budget? We've covered both, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I thought, that we had gone through both of them. So we're talking about the amended budget and the 2024-2025 budget. Are there any comments or any questions about any of that while we're in this public meeting?
I would just like to see that expense that we just talked about could be reflected or what,
okay.
You know, if it's.
I have that
okay.
Done. I'll call Kyle tomorrow.
I'm
going to be on with Polaris tomorrow anyway.
Scott, will you do those separately, please?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
I will do them separately. That's how they're on the agenda, so
Thank
I'll
you.
Do them separately.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll call for a motion then on the budget amendment.
To close the public meeting?
Yep.
Yeah, have a cold public meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we close the public hearing on the budget amendment.
I'll second that.
Okay. Call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Okay. Now I'm going to call for a motion on agenda item number 3, which is the budget amendment.
I would make a motion that we accept the budget as amended with the stipulations that we talked about and for our budget.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay. We'll go to agenda item number 4, which is a public hearing for the 2024-2025 budget. Make a motion to open the meeting.
I'll make a motion that we open the public hearing for the 23-24 budget amendment hearing.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Aren't we talking about item number 4 here?
We are.
Yeah.
So
or possible action.
2024, 2025 town budget.
Oh, yeah, excuse me.
Restate that.
I amend the motion to be the public hearing for the 2024-2025 town budget and possible action.
Okay, I'll second that.
Okay. Call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay. I'll ask for any comment in that, public comment on those items.
I would just like one, to point out one thing, that in our agreed-upon procedure, our auditor pointed out that we had too much in our general fund. So if that is still the case, I would respectfully request that we make arrangements to transfer some of that funding, it's too much, into one of our capital funds, so that we won't violate that again this year.
We don't have those balances here, do we?
I don't.
No.
Okay, because this is just operating budget, so.
Yeah.
We don't have anything in front of us that tells us how much that is right now.
And that's okay, I have a month to do it, we can do that, and that gives us time to transfer.
You would have to do that in the council, you know, with a motion and all of that.
To transfer the money, that's got to be an agenda, we can't just go transfer that.
Our next meeting is July 1st, is that going to be soon enough?
I think that'd be fine.
Okay.
You know, we just.
Or sorry, July 1st.
We just have to be sure to follow through on that.
Okay, that's fine.
You might need to check with.
Yeah, I'll call him, okay.
What is my fiscal?
June 1st.
I think it was July, okay.
Sorry, I meant July.
Yep.
It's been a month.
July starts the.
Right, new fiscal year.
New fiscal year.
Yes, and we meet on the 1st, which is.
Mary, thank you for that. Any other comments? Public comments about the 2024-2025 town budget? Okay, call for a motion then.
I'd just like to state one thing, and maybe it's, I don't see it on the agenda here, but the money that we had approved to split 50-50 for the funding of the grant money, is that, does that need to be reflected in this, in the 24-25 budget?
It does. Well, actually, the whole amount, the 127,464, needs to be reflected, but when I asked the question about the budget we just transferred over, Kim said yes.
Yeah.
So I just assumed that money is transferring over.
Yeah, so it'll just, it's already been budgeted, we just haven't used it.
We just don't work, we don't want it budgeted.
Yeah.
No specific budget for that yet.
Well, no, because we don't have a project yet.
Yeah, we've never decided where the 50-50 is going, okay.
Right.
But it needs to reflect in the 24-25 budget.
Yep.
Or it will, okay.
If I remember right, we have till December to have that appropriated and have a project and have that.
Have a contract in place.
And a contract in place.
Calendar year.
By December.
So does it make sense to put it in the budget that it will go towards an ARPA project?
Or can we just amend it once we get a project that needs, that has identification?
That's what I'd recommend, is you don't know yet what you're going to spend.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
And we may not spend it all in 24-25, because we have a hair longer.
That's correct, you don't have to actually expend the funds until the end of calendar year '26.
So we don't know how much we'll be spending next year.
Correct. Thank you, Gary, for pointing that out.
Well, it's been, whenever I can pick something off the back of the brain, it does help, but it doesn't happen all the time.
Okay.
Do you still want a motion?
Yeah, I'll call for a motion.
Make a motion to close the public hearing.
Okay. Have a second. Okay.
A second, oh, you seconded on it, okay.
Yeah, call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay, let's go to possible action, and I'll call for a motion on that budget.
I'll make a motion that we approve the proposed budget for fiscal year 24-25.
Okay, call for a second.
I'll second it.
Okay, call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Thank you. Let's go to agenda item number 5, which is council reports. Gary, we'll start with you tonight.
Oh, yeah. Jeez, thanks.
Normally, I start with Robin, but we'll switch things up a little bit tonight, and we'll put the onus on your back.
Well, at this point in time, I think I covered what I had on my mind, I will pass it on to whoever.
Okay, thank you. I don't have anything tonight to really report on, and so we'll go to Eric Bennett.
I don't have a report, but I do have a small concern with a question that's probably more for Eric, and that is with Keel being denied the zone change, if he just goes ahead and does business how I have a feeling he's going to, what shall we do about it to protect the neighbors there?
So that would of course need to complain that was going on. Then we'd investigate it, and then we would do the appropriate action from there. We would issue a stop work order.
Right.
And proceed.
So we may need to let some of the neighbors know there what that procedure is. And okay.
Yeah, that's probably the most first neighborhood on complaints that we have. So.
Well, I just.
You've had some action items on that road, so.
Well, yeah, but I would just state what Eric's saying is I have said to the neighbors, because I live in that area, that we're complaint driven, and so once the council receives a complaint, then that's like starts the process going forward to enforce ordinances that the town already has set.
Right.
And that's, I wasn't here at the first meeting, I apologize, but I don't know how many people showed for that part of the meeting. But.
There were a handful.
There were, yeah.
But no one representing Keel was here.
Yeah.
There was one letter read into the record from
Myrna,
and then 5 people got up and stated they were opposed.
Right.
And nobody stated they were in approval. So.
I guess if I can step backwards, not taking some of Eric's time, but there is one other question that has been brought up, and the fact is that I did find out just today, and I don't. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but that we're only required by law to public notice something like that one time, and we public noticed this twice, and the biggest reason I ask that is because the people that we had talked to and stuff were kind of upset to think that they needed to get together again and show in force again like they did. But then I was told by an individual that our ordinances say that we will public hearing with Planning Commission and with the Town Council. Is that how you see that, Eric?
Yeah, well, and Utah law is ambiguous. They say that the Planning Commission will hold public hearing, and it doesn't specifically say that the council does, but this is a legislative body making that
right.
decision.
Right.
So we did a couple of joint public hearings where the council and the Planning Commission was together, and we had some questions brought up in another case in court that whether that was legal. So we split those apart so that it is ample opportunity for people to come and have be heard.
Okay.
And
okay.
So you absolutely have met the law and went beyond that by doing what you did.
We were noticed in the Wasatch Wave on both the 15th and the 22nd.
Right.
I did 2 weeks just because it was a little contentious.
Well, I just...
And I did the same thing for Planning Commission. I did it for 2 weeks, even though we're only obligated to do one. And both meetings got, we're required to do letters to anybody within 500 feet, so yeah, I get right. that. And letters went out twice to those same people.
Yeah, so the one question I would have about that is if we had this same, and it's going to happen, we have this same thing arise, and if our ordinance says that we public hear both to the town council and to the planning commission, if we did not do that and somebody sued us, would that be any line of legal?
Absolutely.
Let me answer that.
And that's and
procedure is as much as substance.
That's
when you hit court.
We're actually changing the way we notice, because I was doing them separately before, and Eric provided me with an example that I don't know if it was the county or
county.
Another town does,
mm-hmm.
where they list both of them at the same time. So anything that's a zone change or anything we know for sure is going to come before both of us, whether the Planning Commission recommends it or they don't recommend it, it's going to go in the same notice. So I will only notice it once before the Planning Commission, but then I'll do the exact same notice
for the council.
Once before the council.
I wasn't as clear as mud, but it's more clear.
No,
now.
And actually it makes more sense, because then it shows that it's going before two bodies.
Right, and it cuts our noticing in half.
Yes, which is fine too.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
No, that's okay. We
didn't
have anything else.
We're actually just changing that this month, so.
Okay.
All good questions. So, okay, Robin?
Friday the 31st, Stephanie Grady wrote a letter about concerns that she had regarding information, particularly with the Planning Commission minutes and things like that. Have we addressed that?
We have. I answered Stephanie Grady back in an email. I answered back to her. We've checked into that. We've got that taken care of. The stuff. We have to make a few corrections on our website. It shows it posted on our side, but on the back side, some of it's not getting posted, and so we're looking into that. I have addressed the letter that Stephanie sent. I've sent her a reply, asked her for a couple of days to research that, and then I will personally get back in touch with her. So, yes,
so
we've addressed that.
So that was about just our website, how it was done?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you go on the State of Utah website, they are available there.
They're all posted on the State of Utah.
It's
our town website.
Okay.
And on Kim's screen, it shows posted. Everything
mm-hmm.
shows posted, but when you go to access that,
you don't get it.
It's not showing up for whatever reason. We've got Aaron looking into that right now.
Our website is antiquated, and I don't write code. I don't understand code. Chris has tried to, and we can talk about this during the warrants, but he's tried to talk me through this a couple different times. Well, this is what you have to do, this is what you have to do, but you have to know what the code is. It's not like other websites where it's like WordPress or something where it's just, you know,
right.
user-friendly. So it's not user-friendly for me, but it's also not user-friendly for anybody looking up things. In fact, there wasn't even a search engine until I asked him to do that. Like, there wasn't even a search engine where you could be like, town code, you'd have to know on the side where to look for anything. And it sort of works now, but
could be improved.
It's definitely the best 1996 had to offer.
So just to comment about that, we're gonna spend a little bit of time and a little bit of effort and try to update our website a little bit. We've got Aaron looking into that. We're going to try and see what some of the costs are going to be to do this and try to make a little bit more user-friendly website. But yes, we've looked into that, Robin, to answer your question. So.
That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you. No engineering report tonight. I gave the engineers the night off. Let's go to the planning report. The planning report's there in front of you. Any questions for Eric? As you can see on this list right here, we've definitely got a lot of stuff carrying on in the town. Rumor has it that we've got a lot more things, buildings and things, just as you go through public and talking to people, they're all wanting to do things, wondering how to get permits and stuff. And so you tell them how to go about that process. And so I suspect that we'll keep seeing this list stay pretty healthy. But Eric, do you want to address anything? I think we've given some COs. Do you want to talk about any of those, or?
Just the Nephi Trunnell, he got his fence done. And so he actually got his temporary CO issued while he built that fence. So the fence is up.
Is that the fence on the west side?
Both, the west and the east.
And he done the east already.
Can I release his check then?
No.
Okay.
It has to be passed off by our
engineer. You tell me when.
So he's got that done. He's working forward. He's still trying to get on Turnell's, trying to get the condominium part for the council, for the commercial area. So I think did you guys get that? Did I send that out to, you sent it out to council? The state code on condominium? See how thick that was?
No, I didn't see. I didn't see the whole thing. I didn't get it.
Oh, I think it's all on your web. Should be on your iPad.
I had Kim send that out to the council and the planning commission.
I can resend it if
I'll
you
go
need
back.
It. And I have a way for you to log into yours today.
Okay.
So it's like 62 pages from the state. We have to comply with all of those rules from the state. We can be more restrictive, but we can't be less.
So in your mind, where are we at on that as far as, are we done things right, wrong, or where are we at?
No, it's not allowed in our town. We took that section out, but now we don't allow that. If we allow it, then we have to go through that law. When we built the town, we pulled that whole section on condo out. Probably because of the work. We don't want condos, you know? That's probably why it got pulled. But anyway, it's not in there.
How long ago would you have said that? Or Kim, would you?
It's been
a month.
More than a month, I think.
That code?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't.
Do you think it was May?
Oh, no, I just remember sending it to you to send out.
Yeah. No, but I can resend it.
Yeah, there's nothing showing here.
Okay.
So
probably in your trash, 62 pages. This has got to be false.
Okay, so Robin, you
I gave Kip my paper copy. Okay, he says, I'll just take that one.
Okay, so resend.
As long as we have this septic situation, wouldn't be able to comply with that anyway, would
we? Well, the commercial areas that we have along the highway corridors have access to sewer.
That's true. Okay.
And so that takes.
And
that
and Nephi did put sewer in.
And so they do have some, there's some qualifying features possibly to do that. But I hate to give an opinion this early as we look at this, but administratively it's a nightmare. To administer this is just crazy. So we don't have full-time administration. You look at that code, you need full-time administration to do that. And so you get two or three of those, because this isn't the only one that's going to be knocking if you do it. There's going to be another one right behind it.
Yeah, and
so.
Tell them about the feeler you had already out.
The what?
The feeler that somebody called you on.
Oh, Yeah, speculation, but we had the T&H land, 21 acres. We have somebody looking at putting the 21 acres, keeping that property, putting 1,500 square foot houses on it. The people buy the houses, but they retain the land. And so it's basically condo. And that's what they're looking at. And of course, that touches the highway corridor, so they have access to sewer. And it is a way for the town to meet our low-income housing. Again, administratively, it takes a lot to administer it. Unless they have a contract that's good. Now, we asked Nephi Trunell to provide us a copy of what his contract would look like, so we could kind of base what we was going to look at. Because he submitted a code that he thinks will fit our town on top of that. So we asked for that contract. That has not been provided. So I'm not sure what that contract will look like.
And you know, I knew to the council, but when I first heard about that, one of the questions come up, and I didn't say much about it, was I don't know the word condominium. And from what I'm seeing as things are progressing forward, is really a broad range of stuff.
Yep.
And so
they would still have to meet commercial code, though. Nobody
Right? Is that the right nomenclature, or is that the right process that he should be going through for that particular building? Because it's one building, but broke up into X amount of pieces or whatever, so I guess that qualifies it as a condominium?
That's the definition of it?
Condominiums are not just residential.
Yeah, I understand that.
So we've narrowed that scope. We're looking at from out here in residential to only doing this in the commercial zone. So we've already narrowed that scope, and that's what we're looking at. If we broaden that scope and you wanted to look at industrial zones in other areas, then you would obviously have more things to look at. Right now, we're just looking at the commercial zone.
But we would want, I mean, I would think that as a town, we would want to try to encompass that as just a very, very specific place that could be done, not that we're, like what you're just talking about, 21 acres, and I mean, can you differentiate, is that possible to differentiate that with state code?
Only with the zone. So you can't, if it's in a commercial zone, it's commercial wide.
Okay.
That zone is, that's your differential, but where your zones change. If you try and pick and choose within that zone, unless you're going on impact, square footage, and things like that, then those things are solid. But just to pick and choose the glamorous.
So the town would have a good leg to stand on to try to rezone something from, like, say, an RA5 or whatever into that commercial zone.
Yeah.
Type thing. Is that allowed in industrial also?
No, it's not allowed anywhere in the town right now.
Oh, I know, but if you was to grant this,
Wouldn't carry to industrial. It would only be for the commercial.
Just the commercial.
As it's written right now. That hasn't passed yet, so whatever you guys decide how narrow that scope is would be what it is.
Looks to me like it needs a lot of scrutiny.
Yeah, there's a lot to this. I didn't expect 62 pages from the state. I mean, I actually took what Nephi had, and the planning department asked me to do that. The commission asked me to write that. I almost had it done, and then I thought, well, I better look at state code and see what they're requiring. And it was like, throw that away.
Is Nephi, is he aware of what the state code is on that?
I sent him that state code, and I have not heard a reply, so.
Okay. Thank
but
you.
He was also given other options. They were like, you could do LLC with business partners. I mean, he was given several options. This is what he's choosing to follow, but he hasn't followed up yet.
Well, we have something similar to that to what's his name's up on Mill Road with.
Nope, he owns all those units.
He owns, oh. Oh, I thought he leases those.
He leases all those. Oh, those are all owned by him.
I thought he sold them.
Mm-hmm. No, those are all owned by him.
Okay. Thanks.
So it's something you guys are going to have to look at.
Yeah.
You guys are legislative, so that's where it falls, right here. It'll come with a recommendation from planning, but the final say is right here, so.
Okay.
Thanks for the clarity.
Any other questions about the planning?
A couple quick ones. CMC concrete.
CMC?
Yeah. One of my concerns up front was having that separation from the neighbors, and they had in their plan to do a large berm and landscape it nicely. Has that all been done? I haven't been over there to see.
It's not finished. The trees have been planted on that berm, though.
Okay. So
yep.
And they it's actually, in process.
And they spread ground asphalt all over so the dust, there's no dust. They've taken and put that surface down. There is some dust on the far end where they're still moving dirt in their washout areas that they haven't completed all their reclamation requirements that they were going to do. There's still some construction going on there, but it's a pretty clean operation for what they are.
And then Haroldson, did they figure out their water?
They have not.
Okay.
So we got back with them and told them we wouldn't vary from our policies and procedures, and they wanted to have a meeting and try and convince us to, so that's where we're at.
I'll be happy to be in that meeting if
okay.
you'd like.
All right. I just have to be careful and not have too many people in that meeting. And then I just, as you guys are looking over that list, I just want to make you aware of the interlocal meeting coming up July 1st also. Oh, that's the agenda items. Sorry. It comes to July 10th, 6:30.
And that's held in the county?
It is, but it's also online.
Okay.
So you can do that online. If you let them know before, they will make you administrator so that you can talk during the thing. So.
I've been going to those.
Yeah, that was the agenda. The first date I had was the agenda item called July 1st, and then the meeting's at 10. Yeah. There's a lot of things that go on countywide that.
Yeah. So Eric, while we're on the planning report, I was made aware tonight that we used to report on Stormhaven Water as an agenda item and Daniel Water as an agenda item.
Yes.
And I have left that off of the last couple, and so. If you would, I want you to give us a little report on Stormhaven Water and Daniel Water tonight, and then we'll put this back on those items back on the agenda.
You want that back on the planning report?
I do.
Okay.
Do you want it on the agenda too, or just the planning report?
I do want it put back on the agenda
okay.
also. I'm the one that let it go off of it.
Okay, that's okay.
So, I think it's important that we discuss that and talk a little bit about that, just kind of update where we're at and what you think we need to know about the Stormhaven Water and the Daniel Water.
Okay.
So if you'll briefly talk about that.
Stormhaven is operating as expected, doing awesome. The leak has stopped. That pit is dry, so that leak has quit that we worked on so hard up there.
Is that the one by the well?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think we was going to get through that, but we did. It was so dang cold.
Yeah, you've done that quite a while ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it was there when there's snow on the ground. Mm-hmm. So, just to report, our chlorinator is in on the Daniel system. The new chlorinator's in. We've been fine-tuning that. We did all the calculations on site and to put the adjustment where we thought it was. It came in a little bit low. We're at 0.04. We're allowed 3.0. So I've worked that back up to where we're 0.50. Going in, we're still coming out at 0.40. So we're using that much in the tank. But that's okay as long as we have residual at the end.
Yeah.
So we're doing okay there on as far as that goes. Our springs are producing like crazy, like everything is this year. I'll get you a gallon per minute here.
135 gallons.
Spring rate flow is 129 gallons per minute.
Both springs?
That's both springs, yeah. The lower spring is 106 and the upper spring is 30. So that's, we're usually at 99, so I mean, it's just going gangbusters on this wet spring runoff, so we're doing awesome that way.
And we, have we, in the last couple of years, have we seen any of the overflow going into the ditch from the lower spring? Have we, I've looked at it a number of times, but not in the last couple of years too regular. What would do is indicate that we were getting a, you know, where the catch basin is, it's buried, and where the spring comes out, you've seen it, that we would, was getting some sediment, or not sediment, but some stuff coming into the screen that feeds that pipe.
Yeah, there was some organics back in the day there.
Right, but it would then discharge into the creek, into that ditch right there, you know, as you cross right in front of where the spring is. But I've not seen anything, any water in there for quite a while.
No, we haven't had any.
So it's stayed pretty darn good.
Yeah, it stayed really good. We reburied that spring area. There was something digging in there. I don't know what it was, but we put big rocks down in the hole and reburied that. And we haven't had any issues at all. The sanitary survey, they would really like us to dig that up and look at it, and we just like are refusing because it's working so good. It's like we don't want it. Open the hood if we don't have to.
No.
So we're really fighting them on that. I imagine they'll gradually win, and we'll have to dig it up at some point. But we'll kick that down the road as far as we can. That's just, I mean, it works so good. Getting no grief at all.
Well, the least amount of contamination is to leave it the way it is.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, anytime you open it, there's a source sample there. So, but the screens up above on the upper springs, I went in and pulled. We had roots growing over winter pretty good.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, we had those little fine hair roots growing in there. So I've thrown them out. If you go up there, it looks like there's something dead outside the door of the springs, and it's just that moss that I...
But it was actually on the screen by the pipe?
No, it was
in the hole, in the little... Okay.
Right, yeah, back in the spring area.
Yeah. We're just trying to get daylight.
Yep. Yeah, it's water and daylight. That's what it's after. But everything's functioning good. We have really nothing that's pressing up there, except for we do need to build a fence as we go up to that. It's been pulled down between
the upper spring,
the Sousa's, and our road. And people have been accessing across with motorized vehicles.
So from the main gate to the hill where Sousa's...
It's just a section, though. It's not whole fence.
It's just probably 200 feet.
Well, all it was before was just was the four strands of barbed wire.
Hill fence. That's all it is. But we need to secure that. We have vehicles coming over, motorized vehicles coming over. So
I'll ride up there in the morning and take a look at that. I'll probably look at fixing that.
Yeah, I'd seen where the water come down the canyon there when what's his name was in there. Whatever his name was, we get it now.
Sellers, you can forget that.
Yeah, wow. Well, that's it. You
good
got
job,
it.
Gary. Some of us will never forget that.
That's washed out again pretty good there, you know.
It is.
And so, and I know Doug doesn't want it diverted to go down his side of the fence into his field because that's where it did go initially. But eventually it's going to make it worse across our road right there, you know, if we access in, I guess.
Yeah, I don't even think we could bury a culvert in there because it would just fill up with all that.
That's what I was wondering.
Rock and material. It moved a lot of material.
Yeah, that was one of my thoughts, is to bury a culvert and let it shoot into what was, well, I guess it still is Call's Field, but
Call's
that
field
may not work either, so.
Yeah, and that's what I was doing, was running down into Call's Field and then back across down the road to the creek.
Right.
So I just did a big loop, but it not only brought down a lot of material, but brought down a lot of noxious weeds. We have a lot of mullein right there on the corner, and so it brought down a lot. But I mean, didn't do much this year, but last year was a good, healthy runoff coming off of there. Mother Nature's in charge. She decides how it comes off.
So in order to fix that fence, I'm not sure what we'd exactly have to do with that small piece there, because that berm's pretty high.
It is pretty high, but I think we can just go up and get the same thing we have, just chain link and start to finish 200 feet and into the pipe that separates those two. I think that section,
so
would secure that area.
Like you say, I'll go look at that tomorrow and see where we're at, see what we need to do on that. And Eric, if you would, while we're talking about the chlorinator and that, Eric and I have talked a little bit about this, and the company that fixed that told us that if we would have them come in once a year and service that, correct me if I'm wrong, that it'd be $500 a year to service that, and they guarantee that everything will work. And explain that to us while we're right here.
So if they get on the contract with them to come in and replace the sills and clean that up every year, it's about $500 a year, that we won't be in the situation we was in now, replacing it for $18,000. However, if we miss 5 years, they will no longer service that. At 5 year mark, you're done. That thing's so corroded by that chlorine that they can't service it after 5 years. So that's something we're gonna have to decide, if you wanna be on their service plan and have it serviced, or if you wanna roll the dice for, it's been in there a long time. So.
Been in there 20 years.
Yeah.
That's one thing I wanted to basically bring up and have us think about, because it makes sense to me that, you know, we spend the money and maintain it and take care of it. It's going to last that much longer, and $500 honestly means a lot of money, but in $500 a year versus 18 grand, 20 grand, I mean, that more than pays for itself. And so that may direct be a reflection in part of this budget also, is that we may allocate that to do that. We'll put it on as an agenda item next month and make a decision on whether we're gonna do that or not. But it makes a lot of sense to me to do that. So Eric, thank you for that. If there are any other questions on the water systems, meters are reading pretty good.
Yeah, we have 43 that aren't reading
right now. Mm-hmm. And
does that include Storm Haven?
Yeah, that's total system. 43 that aren't reading right now. So
yeah, and we still have them. We still have some meters that we're waiting for to be replaced.
Yes,
and that's included in that number right there.
Right.
So,
and they're localized, so I'm pretty sure the meters are just dying, because it's,
yep,
there's several on 3,000 sides.
Oh, it's way past their life expectancy.
Yes, yeah, it was nothing.
Okay, very, very good. Let's move forward to agenda item number 8, recorder office warrants approval. You guys have seen the warrants. Do you have any questions or any concerns about what you see there?
Comparison in the past, we've had something to look at.
What would you like to have from the past?
Well, just maybe what the budget is, or something basic to look at to see, okay, or this amount is twice what it was last month, or
I can do that, but quarterly, we're going to be doing the operational budget, and that's what does the percentage of what we've used.
So all this does is just tell us what we've spent. It doesn't help us
exactly
know whether there's an aberration or any kind of a problem that occurred.
If there's an aberration or something, I bring it to Scott's attention. Okay. But if you have questions, or if you want to see a few, like, if we go through here, our rent is always going to be $650 a month, so that goes without saying. Smith Harpigson, $59. That was just, I think she spent like half an hour or something. We're generally spending about $150 a month on advertising. Ardura was actually less than I thought, but they didn't actually get me an invoice for Storm Haven. So that's split up, but when you see Storm Haven, you can see that. The anomaly is going to be the Chris Anderson one that we briefly discussed. So I'll let Scott speak to that.
Well, just so you guys know, I got a hold of Chris about a month and a half ago, and the SCADA system up on the well house. He's been doing a lot of work on that, trying to update that, trying to get that to where we get notifications. There's a couple of us that are receiving or will be starting to receive notifications on that. Chris has been our IT guy in the town, and I asked him if he would take a look into that and kind of research that and get it up and running for us. And that system has been outdated also. And so we've had to purchase a few things to get that system up and running. How that works is, I mean, you probably all know this, but if the power goes out, it sends out a notification if the power's off. If the temperature is too cold inside the pump house, if it drops below a certain level, it sends a notice. So that's what this system does, and it hasn't totally been working for a few years now, and so we're spending a little bit of money to get this all updated and get it working so that we can be a little more efficient in the town. And so that he's charged us for the time that he spent to do that, which is a little bit of money, and I anticipated some of that. I didn't know how much we were gonna go, but it got a little pricey, but we'll take care of it. And I like using Chris. He's part of the town, and so we'll see where we go from there.
Well, it was one of the things that raised a flag on me, because I didn't remember we were paying him that amount of money. And so I thought, is this a monthly charge?
This is to upgrade that SCADA system and get that working and get it to where it'll function properly for all of us.
Okay.
And just let me clarify that some of that money also is for, we use him heavily on the water system for the meter reads. If we have any issues with the computer system and it's talking, Chris is the one we go to on Sunday afternoon to get it fixed. So
yeah.
Some of those hours too do reflect in that amount there.
Yeah, I think he's done a pretty darn good job for what he's had to work back.
Yeah. He's kept me informed through the whole thing. He sends me emails, he calls me, he's talked to me, and once we get it up and running and working correctly, then we'll see where we go. I think we're pretty close though on that.
I had to buy him a new modem, and that's been ordered, and it should be delivered sometime this week, and then he'll install that. That ended up being part of the problem.
Is our contract with him just verbal, or do we have a written, some type of a time in and so much an hour? How do we gauge how?
I haven't seen a contract with him, but he's been there for the whole time the town's been around. And
I'm sure it's verbal.
But I think moving forward, to answer your question, after we get this taken care of, I'd like to sit down with Chris and just, you know, talk.
Sure.
And if the town, if we decide that we'll put him under contract or whatever, then we'll put a contract together and do that. But he understands everything to this point. He's done it for ever since the town became a town. So, and I just felt like we ought to use him. So.
Yeah, he's just been as need basis.
Correct.
No, yeah, he just fills us by the hour.
Yeah.
Just we use him, so.
Yeah.
And like I said, he's been good for after hours, weekends, when problems really happen.
Yep. Okay.
And usually he does that annually in a bill. So usually about the time that his business license comes due, that's when you see his bill come.
And this was an annual bill. I asked him to have that prepared for this one, and actually there was a little bit from last fiscal year, but we'll just get it taken care of. And the last fiscal year was like the search engine and stuff like that. So we'll just take care of it, but that's done now, so.
Okay, any other questions? I'll call for a motion.
Make a motion to accept the warrants. Is there anything else?
Call for a second. Okay, call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay, let's go to agenda item number 9. The approval of the meeting minutes for May 6th, 2024.
I was going to have those approved in the Planning Commission because it was really a Planning Commission work session that you were invited to.
Okay.
So if you want to approve them too, I can mail them out to everybody. But I did hand out your handouts, just so you know.
Okay.
And there is an audio of that.
There is. The audio is already posted. Yep. It wasn't a terribly long meeting.
Okay. Any questions? We'll call for a motion. We're ready.
I'd make a motion that we accept the minutes of May 6, 2024 as written.
Call for a second.
I'll second.
Okay. Call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Yes.
Okay. Call for a motion.
Are you interested in closed session?
Oh, I didn't. What was the comment? I didn't hear.
Well, we got a decision, so. Should we read it? What do you think, Eric? Should we have?
I don't think we're ready for it. I think we should follow our lawyer's advice and stew on it for a little bit before we make a decision.
Can we inform? Did everyone get this decision? Can we at least have a closed session and just inform them?
Why do we have to have a closed session to discuss this?
Pardon me?
Why do we have? You don't always have to go into a closed session just because we.
It's true, but I think there was some attorney advice that I would prefer to keep
you
off
would
the
prefer.
Public record.
So you would want to talk about that in a close session?
But it would just take a couple of minutes.
It is pending legal. So it's definitely within the code if you want to go into close session and discuss it.
Okay. Let's make a motion on a possible close session.
I could make a motion, but I'm not sure what it is we're exactly talking about in the closed session.
So what we're, well.
Just a motion to have a closed session.
It's a motion to have a closed session.
Oh, on pending litigation. Oh, it is pending litigation. Okay,
yeah.
I missed that part. So I would make a motion that the town council go into closed session at this time for pending litigation.
Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Pearson, no.
You need me and Mary to stay?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
So the motion passes?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Three yeses?
I'm going to...